All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Good evening. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. You're listening to American Vindicta. I have a message for everyone out there who thinks it is a fallacy to prepare, to learn survival skills, and to prepare now for the times that are coming in our future. I get asked, why is the survivalist movement so critical? Because when society fails, there needs to be a portion that will survive. Hopefully all will live and endure, but sadly, only the fortunate few will survive the collapse. The world, or your nation, could be near utter destruction from many man-made or natural causes. So whatever your desired doomsday scenario is, the goal is to survive, and if we're lucky, to thrive. Patriots, teach our youth what we are fighting for. Teach them our great history, the good and the bad. Hold back nothing. Teach them that a line must be drawn between what is good and what is evil. For when the great enemy comes and offers powers wrapped in lies to the wretches and the masses, the ignorant and weak will not be able to refuse. For if the great enemy comes and offers these gifts to the lost and the damned, what resistance is there to refuse the kingdom of hell if their country is torn asunder and they live in hell anyway? My countrymen, most of you know not the horrors that encircle the world and prey upon mankind. Be thankful, for most of the world's inhabitants already live in a collapsed nation, or they endure the strangles of freedom with rampant crime, terrorism, and subpar living conditions. Most of you know not what it means to live hungry or watch your children starve, to observe open war in your streets in which you travel to buy food and goods every day. Most of you have never met a child soldier who was taken from their parents by a warlord. Most of you listening have never been kidnapped and sold into sex slavery, and then smuggled into another country to be sold as a child bride to the highest bidder. Most of you have never seen war or walked in the bombed-out cities that were once peaceful and teeming with life. Most of you were never recruited forcefully by MS-13 while you were not even a teenager yet, then forced to kill an innocent person, sometimes even one of your own family members, just to become a completed initiate of the gang and expected to live a violent criminal life. Most of you were never a part of a fanatical religious cult who worshipped evil entities and murdered random people. Most of you are not part of the secret occult societies that plan to destroy all borders and all nations and end all freedoms, so that the world could be brought under a new world order. Consider yourself lucky, friends, because many are not. When prophecy hits the fan, you must find the strength to preserve yourself. Patriots, teach our youth the necessary essence of rebellion in the face of tyranny. When our time comes, give the great enemy something to fight. When that dreadful day is here, make the enemy bleed and die upon the righteous sword that he forced us to unsheath. Take your ability to survive, persevere, and resist the great enemy with the utmost seriousness. Our country may require you to save it one day. Do not allow yourself to be drawn away, to be taken aside because of party politics. You're being lied to from both ends. Draw nearer to God every day. Resist the devil so that he may flee you. Take your ability to survive and to keep your family alive very seriously. The things that I share with you and that other experts share with you, we don't harp on these skills and abilities because it's fanciful. Many people around the world are experts at survival because their world has not given them another option. They can't just go down to Starbucks and pick up a warm latte. They can't just get in their car and drive to the supermarket to pick up fresh food. We are not far away from becoming a third world nation. It just depends on what type of critical and devastating attack hits America. We have a critical infrastructure problem in this country. There is a series of books that I suggest that everybody buy and either listen to or read yourself. This one book was passed out to Congress in the early 2000s. The book is called One Second After, and it's a series of three books, very well written, very heart-wrenching, and it brings a lot of these scenarios to home. When we lose power in this nation for any reason, and we don't get it back, we will then be on par with any other third world nation. People will start to die that are in hospitals, that are in nursing homes, that are on any type of life-sustaining equipment. Your ability to get fresh water from the tap will not be there. Your ability to flush your toilet with fresh water will not be there. Or to shower conveniently during any time of the day. To get gas out of the ground whenever you're half a tank empty. To take your kids down to, you know, the local Dairy Queen, get them an ice cream. That will all be gone. And crime will be rampant. And many of those criminals will be people who you never thought would have been a criminal. Because they will be forced out of necessity to feed themselves or their family or starve. To get a life-sustaining medical drug or piece of equipment to help keep a loved one alive longer or to watch them suffer and die. When put in great harm or when facing great calamity, mankind has showed us over and over that they are willing to throw the laws out the window. People will not speak of peace when there is no peace to be found. Law enforcement will be stretched so thin that they won't even be able to do their job correctly anymore. You won't be able to keep prisoners in the prisons. You won't be able to keep the people in insane asylums locked up. The drug fiends and the alcoholics won't have the convenience to go to the local store and get whatever they need to fix their high. Some will go manic, and some will be crazed in order to feel the rush and the need that their body is calling for, and may just kill anyone in their way in order to get it. I'm not telling you things that are not unreal and that have not happened, not in this country, especially not around the world. We have a poorly protected grid in this country. And the things we take advantage, like the lights being on right now, we don't know how precious that is. Take your survivability very seriously. It doesn't mean that you should spend all your money and live in a hole in the ground. But you should be worried. We live in a very, very tense time in this country where civil war keeps being brought up, which is why I continue to speak of it. We have a government now that sees its own citizens as domestic terrorists or as enemies of the state. We have a military that is being completely overhauled by social progress to the extent that our military is laughed at by the Russians and the Chinese, when we don't even have a credible fighting force anymore. What is really to hold the monsters at bay? If we were ever more susceptible to an invasion, it would be when we have no power. If I were a bad guy and I wanted to take over this country easily, I would do what's being done right now. I would divide the nation through politics, scare the nation through biological warfare, change the laws so that there was less freedoms, convince you that there was no real problem in America or outside of the shores that you should be worried about, and I would take your power down, one coast at a time. There are three power grids, the East, the West, and the Texas power grids. As far as we know, the Texas power grid is probably the strongest and the most well-prepared. But look at what one little ice storm did to us in the beginning of the year. How many people died from freezing in their homes and apartments? And it could have been prevented. But policies and party politics got innocent people killed. Just imagine if the power never came back on. How would we control the wildfires? How would we rescue people when we can't make gasoline and diesel anymore to power our helicopters, our planes, the jet A fuel? You can't have any more gas to put in the ambulance to rush you to the emergency center anymore. Many countries already live that way. And people that are greatly affected from any type of terrorist attack or natural calamity, they just suffer and die. America, you have been spoilt to freedoms and the leisures of the greatest society on earth, that is America. And because of that, you've become fat and complacent. You're like an overfed dog that refuses to get up and obey its master anymore. You refuse to guard your own home anymore because you believe the police will be right there. Or you believe that we don't need weapons anymore to defend ourselves because we're a more advanced society now. I guess nobody ever told the satanic gangs America, we are one EMP attack, one critical infrastructure down attack away from utter collapse. Your food will spoil within 3 days in your refrigerator. Those of you who require medicine that has to be refrigerated, do you have a place in your home to put that medicine in case the power goes out? There are things we don't think of as a society because we have not been utterly affected to the point that we really needed to consider it. Many of us who have lived on the outside of these shores, we've seen what other nations have to go through. And some of us were lucky enough to pick up some survival tips along the way. But very few people in this country listen because you'd rather throw all your money and your time away on things that entertain you. It will not be entertaining when you're having to sneak around the middle of your town to avoid the roving gangs in order to go and find food for your family. Take your survivability very seriously. We're going to a break. We'll see you on the other side.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Welcome back. This is American Vindicta. I am your host, Doug Thornton. We're going to continue to talk about survival and touch briefly upon community preparation and where my list is at currently. Community preparation is where I believe we will survive and succeed if we lose all power throughout this great nation of ours. State lines will not be there anymore. Borders will not be there anymore. Towns and cities and suburbs will be forced to make their own territorial boundaries. They'll be forced to operate as a state within themselves and also have to set up safe passages and roads, road maintenance, tradeways, venues for people to be able to barter or buy, sell, and trade goods. You will more or less be restarting your society within your area of operations, which me and some others agree is probably going to be your gas tank. Most of us don't drive around with a full tank of gas, and most of us don't have enough gas on hand to refill your vehicle's tank at least once nor twice. So the event of a massive power outage, what are some things to consider? My list is incomplete because, honestly, I don't think I could ever touch everything. There's always something that I'm missing. There's always a new person that I would talk to who will give me a new perspective and something new to look at. Another problem to try and remedy. So right now, this is my basis. If you want to write this down or replay it and copy it and consider it and think about it, add to it. Here we go. During a national grid down scenario, it's good to have an overall map of your area of operations so that you'll know all entrances and egresses within your community, so that you'll know where your hospitals are, your grocery stores are, your hardware stores are, maybe your National Guard, your police station, fire stations, where your power stations are, your water purification stations are. You may want to know where all these things are because if we're having to restart a community, we're going to need to protect a lot of these assets. And we're going to need to keep a lot of our roads free and clear of debris and of people. Overlays of security, hospitals, energy sources, entrance and exit ports, food storage areas, possible barracks for security forces, hardened structures for the civilian populations in case of a military invasion, rings of perimeter security, both internally and externally, list of emergency personnel staff, and alternates in case those staff members are incapable of fulfilling their duties. List of leadership for various roles of the community and their alternates. Sources of communication that can be salvaged. Munitions and weapons to include armories and possible distribution centers for arms in case of invasion. Water filtering systems, underground bunkers and hardened structures for water and food rations can be stored and secured. Ancient well springs that can be tapped into during a time of great need. Estimates of diseases once the community has to be locked down and life-saving services start to go offline. Estimate of medicine if a mass plague or infection breaks out in the community. Certain types of disease, symptoms, severity of contagions, if the food and water sources are fouled. Also, what remedial measures are in place in case such an incident was to occur? How many secondary and tertiary sources of water and food do you have on hand in case they are fouled by people who are infected by diseases or who happen to inflict them during conflict like raids? triage areas, grave digging details. Where is the best place to have a grave? Your population, more than likely after a period of months, will be so greatly affected by the lack of caloric intake, many will not have the energy to even dig a grave. Endless screening of how all supplies are being sustained and secured, down to the smallest detail of expiration dates and items that are mildewed due to the inequality in the humidity inside the storage areas. When we don't have the ability to power our warehouses anymore and keep fresh air in, how quickly will things begin to rot? Inspections on food stocks to be performed daily and recorded. Every ration taken either from a person eating it or the ration being disposed of due to whatever ailments must be recorded. There will be rumors and conspiracies of factions hoarding rations for themselves and their families. I assure you that will happen. This is unavoidable and is why an accurate, stringent account of all food rations must be kept and must be protected at the highest levels of security. Food controls the behavior of the weak-minded and the desperate. A fortress can implode from within, based solely on conspiracies and factions in the community. Do not underestimate the depravity of man. Do not take inner security for granted. Even for the communities out there that don't like police anymore, you will be recreating police departments. You may be even creating your own form of military. You know, a lot of us don't like the idea that Posse Comitatus may go away during this time, but if you're near a large military installation during a grid-down scenario, martial law will be in effect. It has to be. People will prove to you during a time of great crisis that they do not care about society or laws. They will do as they see fit to please themselves. You're not going to have people from Congress or from the Senate who are going to be grandstanding, saying, why don't we send more funds or stand up an energy network for this area until their areas are secured along with their families. You'll have a military presence that will be forced to combat cities that have been overrun and overturned to criminal gangs. The highwaymen will be a daily scene. Ambushes. Unsuspecting travelers being ambushed just to go home or to go to their bug out location when their home is compromised. We have seen this time and time in history. Speaking of bug out locations, what do you do if you don't have the ability to get to it? Do you have the ability to bug in? If you do, do you have a network of people that you can rely upon, that you can go to and say, it's time, we need to activate? It can start as simple as having a volunteer watch for your neighborhood and getting to know people. At least getting to see who is willing to venture outside of their comfort zone to help protect their community. I strongly suggest that in this scenario of a grid down, communities band together, establish their own boundaries, establish your own militias, your own police force, your own fire department, your own hospital, your own emergency services, you'll need to revamp the way you think of things, because you may be bartering with other territories for food or for medical needs. In the book, One Second After, there are two towns that barter with cattle and pigs for medical equipment, just for insulin. In this book, there are also a plethora of dangers. Everything from the common scratch being infected or the common flu not being treated properly, all the way to water sources being contaminated, people not being able to even dig adequate graves anymore, vandalism upon the hospitals, the drug stores, the nursing homes by would-be criminals. There is an extreme part in this book. One thing that I think we will see in this country, we will probably see around the world when prophecy hits the fan, is extremist ideological cults who will be growing in size and will become their own army, trampling over cities like a swarm of locusts, and moving to the suburbs, then moving to the countryside. And they'll be met by resistance. In that scenario, it is better to have a community that is well prepared, well established, that has some sort of a method of understanding with other communities, that in case there is a security risk, that they can band together and rely upon each other. I do not suggest during these times that people implement themselves into being kings and queens or to rule as dictators over community. I suggest that maybe one of the more simpler approaches is to have a 10-man or woman Congress that's made up of community leaders that can sit down and discuss the way the community should be ran and should be voted upon. That is one of the things that has kept our country afloat for a very long time. But it is also one of the elements of our country that was the most quickly corrupted, hence leading to where we're eventually going to be going in this country. I believe the community should be electing these leaders, not the leaders electing themselves. During these times of great need, it is best to draw upon the experts, the subject matter experts within your community as well. Do not negate the farmer down the road who knows how to take care of poultry. Do not negate the gardener who knows how to make even the most stubborn of soil produce luscious greens. These people save communities by feeding them. Don't forget the engineers or the smart kid down the street who can reestablish electrical lines, make old generators turn back on, find a way to get gas and diesel that are in reservoirs underneath gas stations out of the ground and back into working vehicles. There's probably going to be some arcane technology that's going to be brought up somewhere from the Mother Earth magazines to old history books. Knowledge that saves people is wrote down in these books, and I strongly suggest people buy them. At least, even if you don't know all these things, offhand. You can go to a reference book, like the Farmer's Almanac of that year, and at least you can reconnoiter a few things. Here's some books that I would recommend. And these are just general survival books. For bushcraft skills and manuals, I suggest Dave Canterbury's Bushcraft Book Series. There's about three or four of them. I have at least four of them. The 101 book and the advanced book are very, very well written, very easy to read and understand. A general survival book for the mindset, Cody Lundeen, I think it's 96.8 is that book. Tom Brown Jr., The Science and Art of Tracking, that's another very good book. We don't think about these things, but you're not going to be living in your urbane societies anymore. You're not going to be able to stay in your lofts anymore when the power goes down, when they can't pump water up to the 20th story of your apartment, when the air conditioners don't work, when the elevators don't work. What those apartments, those lofts, they're going to become killing zones. It is going to be too easy for criminal gangs to go into these places in force and go door to door to gather their supplies. And most of them will not be stopped. Because most of the places that I'm talking about are in large urban cities. Most of our large urban cities are democratically controlled. And for some strange reason, the general majority of the population is unarmed. Because at one point in time, you had a presence of security from law enforcement that during this time will not be there for you. They will either have fled and dropped the uniform, no longer riding around in the marked police vehicle because now you're a threat and a target, and they'll be taking care of themselves or their family. Make sure you know how to take care of yourself. In this country, we're one of the few countries in the world that gives you the right to carry a firearm to protect yourself. I strongly consider every legal citizen in this country to purchase a firearm, get the proper training to protect yourself or to protect others, or in the most direst of needs, protect our country and our way of life. We're but one bad day away from a very rude awakening in this country. Please be prepared. We're going to a break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing, and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
And welcome back. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. We are still continuing to talk about the elements of survival as a nation, as a community, and as an individual. Right now, I'd like to share with you some things about training consistently with your firearms. Now, there are many good references to go out and get that training from. Please take advantage of it while it's still there, while the power's still on, while you're still legally able to own a firearm in this country. Don't take anything for granted. There are plenty of professionals out there who are willing to teach you their life's experience on handling firearms and being proficient with them. In a life or death situation, it is best to know the weapon that you are using. So without further ado, let's talk about pistols. Be consistent with your training. Train as often as possible, especially with the weapons you plan on carrying or using on a day-by-day basis. Maintain your weapons consistently by cleaning them after use and making sure the weapons are lubricated properly. Also, if you run a light or an optic on your weapon, make sure your batteries are rotated out properly and that you keep a sufficient amount of them on hand. Red dot sights generally need their batteries changed once a year, while weapon lights need to be replaced at least every 2 months, depending on how frequently you use them and on environmental conditions. Make sure you BZO the red dot sights on your pistols with the ammo you plan to carry the most. Higher powered ammunition can change the BZO on the weapon, so make sure you stay consistent with your everyday carry ammunition or re-zero the optic to the new ammo that you choose to use every day. I understand that when prophecy hits the fan, you will have whatever ammunition you can find on hand. But if you have a general consensus of ammo already stored, be the most proficient with that ammo. Train with your weapon systems in different environments, from cold to hot, dry to raining. You never know the situation you will be in when you need to use your weapons, so practice in different environmental conditions. This also means things may change in your draw stroke depending on how much clothing you have on. Jackets can greatly affect how you draw your pistol if you typically never use them. Different carrying conditions, from appendix carry to 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock to different weapon platform belts, all these things can change your draw stroke. So whatever it is that you have as your emergency gear, your emergency survival system, when prophecy hits the fan, make sure you have trained with it adequately. You have sweated in it. You know the hot spots in your boots. You know the pinch points in your belt. You know the wear and tear of your plate carrier. You know the headache that you can get from carrying around your helmet on your grape for too long. Understand and become part of the gear that you use. It may just save your life one day. Be consistent with where you wear your pistol the most and train that way. You may carry either between appendix 3 or 9 o'clock, or you may carry or be that weird guy who carries a pistol in your boot or ankle or a fanny pack. Train how you would fight so that you're not caught off guard and put your life at risk by carrying a way you normally don't train on. When you've done hundreds or thousands of repetitions of pulling your pistol from appendix, and because of whatever condition you're in right now, that pistol is in a fanny pack and you have to unzip it, that may cost you seconds. You may fumble. That could be life-threatening. Make sure you train with the gear that you're wearing. It is recommended to carry an extra source of ammunition, an extra magazine with you as well, in case of a malfunction of the weapon or a malfunction of the feed source, which is the magazine. Sometimes magazines do not properly work. Sometimes the spring gets a little funky inside the magazine, and your ammunition will then not successfully feed into your firearm. So have a fresh source of ammunition from that new magazine available on you, and train how to do an emergency reload or a tactical reload or a speed reload. Moving on, rifles. All training should apply to all weapons, from a pistol, a shotgun, a rifle, or whatever your flavor of death dealing is. Make sure your weapon is properly cleaned, lubed, and well maintained. This is your life-saving device, so treat it properly. Replace faulty magazines, run good, reliable ammo, and keep the batteries fresh if you use an optic with an illuminated reticle or a red dot. Slings are the next most important thing to accompany your rifle. A good sling will make for a good engagement. A crappy sling is a risk that I am not willing to take. There are multiple reputable companies out there who make very reliable slings. Choose from them and not the cheapest strap that you can buy from Walmart. There are two types of slings that I use and approve, that is a two-point sling or a one-point sling. The downfalls of a one-point sling is that you have only one basic retention of the rifle, but no real ability to use it for a steady shot. A two-point sling can be adjusted tightly so that you can take a well-aimed shot without being shaky or unsupported. Don't waste your time on the three-point slings. They only get in the way of your gear and tend to snag way too much. Practice shooting your weapons in all matters of positioning, standing, kneeling, and prone. Practice moving and shooting if possible. This takes a lot of time to get right, but you'll almost never find yourself in a gunfight with both feet planted for very long. You can practice with an unloaded weapon and dry fire your weapon. You can use pellet guns or airsoft guns, but make sure that you use something that most replicated the weapons you plan to carry every day. Moving on to shotguns. Never underestimate the intimidating might that is the almighty shotgun. All training mentioned prior still applies, but the most important is to make sure you can clear your shotgun of any malfunctions and you can reliably and consistently reload that weapon in an effective and efficient time. It should take you seconds to reload, but this comes with much practice. I suggest using dummy rounds for practicing your reloads if you're not comfortable with the live ammunition. Best weapon choices? Make sure that your weapons you purchase are, for one, legal and come from a reputable company. Do not go down to the mom and pop pawn shop and buy the unknown make and model of a pistol, rifle, or shotgun just because it's cheap. Buy something that is reputable that professionals carry. My choice for weapons are modern day weapons. Now, I understand that there are probably people out there who say, well, I'll use a crossbow or a compound bow, a musket. At the end of the day, you use what you need to protect yourself, but we live in the modern era. Buy modern weaponry. This would be the semi-automatic pistols, such as a Glock or a pistol-like one. Glocks are proven to be some of the best made, most reliable pistols on the market for a reason. I recommend using a pistol that shoots 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, or 45 ACP. These are the most common types of ammunition used in America and the most readily available or easiest found ammunition. If you choose to shoot a gun that carries a unique kind of ammunition, you lessen your chances of finding that ammunition when it hits the fan. These rounds also provide the correct type of man-stopping power based off their ballistics and have a very good accurate range on them. However, accuracy usually is based off the shooter and not the weapon. Stay away from the very short snub-nosed pistols. I know personally how ineffective these weapons can be, so just stay away from them. They are almost only used for an impact shot. I recommend a full-sized pistol or a model that is slightly smaller, like a compact, like the Glock 17 or the Glock 19. The small compact pistols are great and comfortable, but the range is much more lessened because of the shorter barrels. Holsters are the next most important thing to having a good, reliable pistol. Get a reputable holster, and I suggest only Kydex. A good Kydex holster will last many years and keep good retention on the pistol and should give you a consistent draw without pinching or dragging. Leather holsters in a combat situation are a very big risk. They can fall apart, change the molding after use, and can limit your speed when coming out of the holster. My two most favorite holster companies are Safariland with the ALS locking system and the T-Rex Arms Ragnarok holsters. There are others out there, but these two companies are industry leaders for a reason. Personally, I use the Safariland ALS holster every day, and I have never had any problems with them. There are good knives out there that I suggest people to have on them at all times. It would be most recommended if you do happen to carry some sort of a war belt or a gun belt to carry a multi-tool or a Leatherman, a Gerber, in a pouch on your belt that is easily accessible by your support hand. Now, I keep mine in front of me in a pouch where I can access it with either one of my hands. It is also recommended to keep some sort of a fixed blade knife that you can either grab by your strong hand or your weak hand, or if possible, both hands. In case your pistol malfunctions and you are in a deadly encounter with somebody, you can have something like a fixed blade knife to use as a standoff weapon or as that emergency backup. Pocket knives are always recommended to carry. Knives are very small, typically very light, and you will find yourself in plenty of different situations where you need some sort of a cutting tool. A pocket knife is something that's very easy to slip in your pocket and forget about it until you need it. You can also carry a small handheld flashlight in your pockets. I would also strongly suggest that you have a backup flashlight to your weapons on your person, either in a pocket, in a pouch, or attached to your belt. If you have anything that is of use that is for a survival-like gear or an emergency signaling gear, have it well secured to your person in case you stumble, you fumble, you run through the woods, and things start getting ripped off you from the trees and the limbs. These little pieces of gear will save your life, possibly. Put them somewhere where you know where they're at, but they're very well secured. If you're going to use a pouch on your belt, I strongly recommend use a pouch that has a zipper, not Velcro or not a button. Velcro tends to be very loud at night. Buttons tend to rip. Have something to secure your equipment in. For right now, that's all I got for you. We're going to continue to add to these lists. We're going to continue to get a little bit further into the details. Thank you for listening. I'm Doug Thornton. This is American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.